All right, week three of the NFL off and running. Miami laid a beating on Jacksonville last night. O and Al's brother were all over Gardner Minshew and the Jags, and they got lit up last night.
You know what? I was going to take the Dolphins until that spiel I heard from that moron.
Yeah. Al's brother, he left you hanging last night, man. He did that on Monday night, too. Right? Although it was my pick, and I ended up going with Vegas, but... We got three more games this Sunday. We'll get to those picks a little bit later in the hour. And the disappointing thing for me is I just want to see Tua play, you know. And now that they've won a game and Fitzpatrick played well, you got to believe he's going to continue to start. But to get into that a little bit more on the Dolphins, the NFL scene, and also Miami, you know, the Heat looking to punch their ticket to an NBA Finals as they're up 3-1 on Boston. We head down to Miami now and catch up with Channing Crowder, longtime NFLer and host on 560 Radio down in Miami. What's happening, Channing?
Man, boy, y'all are touching my heart. First I hear nicknames, Noodles and Old Dog, and I get criticized, fellas. I give everybody a nickname. We had Desmond Howard on today, and I called him Dez for 15 minutes, and my producer was killing me. He was like, Crowder, nobody calls this man Dez. I said, hey, I'm country. I'm going to give somebody a nickname. I'm going to give everybody a nickname.
And was then, he pissed off?
No. I know Dez. Desmond Howard. He's a South Florida dude. He lives here, so I see him at events all the time. You know, so he understands that I'm kind of crazy. And how do y'all bet against the Dolphins? I had the Dolphins +3, and I had the Dolphin money line last night. I got out of debt last night off the Dolphins. How y'all bet against the Dolphins?
Oh, I didn't, man. It was a one-on-one, and this fool down the road from me here, he got suckered into some analysis. We have a guy on our show called Al's brother. That's not his name. That's a nickname as well. And he was all over Minshew against
He's
the blitz.
Idiot.
And yeah, I guess he really led O astray. And O went with the Jags, and I went with the Fish, and I won. But again, I say that reluctantly because I want to see Tua play. I have no interest in watching Fitzmagic anymore. I need that to come to an end. I want to see Tua play. What's the vibe like down in Miami when it comes to that chat?
Well, first off, the reason I took the Dolphins was when I found out that Sharks was out. The leading receiver.
Yep.
I looked at the stats of the first two games when they, you know, they could have beat Indy. They ended up losing to Indy late, and then they, you know, I mean, I beat Indy, sorry, and lost to Tennessee late. And I looked at the receiving numbers, and every receiver had 3-2, 3-2, 1-2, 3-2. Other than Sharks, he was like at 5 or 6. They had no top receiver. I didn't find out the first or the second, you know, receiver or who could get the target. And when I saw that, I'm like, yeah, Minshew's not going to try to find. He's had to find somebody.
Yep.
And everything was off play action. Everything Minshew did was off play action. And when I looked, I'm like, the Dolphins just got ate up by Cam Newton in week one running. And the Buffalo Bills, Singletary and Josh Allen in week two. I'm like, they're not going to get out the box. So Minshew has to beat them. They went zone. They played a soft zone. And that's what I anticipated them to do. But they won. Fellas, with Tua, I'm going to tell you, this is a canary in the coal mines. Where, if y'all really look at it, bro, like Devontae Parker, the weapons that the Dolphins have, that's my analogy of the canary in the coal mine, where you send the canary down to see if he dies, and then you send a human. Where Devontae Parker's been injured, Preston Williams, their other receiver, is coming off of an ACL injury. Albert Wilson, our slot corner that we had that was falling, he opted out. Allen Hurd opted out. We have Isaiah Ford starting, and this man had, I think, 12, 13 catches in the last 2 weeks. We have no proven pieces. Matt Breida got signed. Jordan Howard's averaging an eighth of a yard per carry. He's not doing nothing. Like, I think they're putting 50 out there to see what he does more than what he does, but what he can do with the weapons they have before they send Tua down that coal mine. But, fellas, Tua's on the way. Trust me. I know they didn't draft this dude on a fluke. They stuck with him, you know, all the talks of his hip injury, and they were leaning away from him, maybe Justin Herbert. They wanted Tua. They played the chicken game up Tua to wait till the fifth pick to get him, and they got Tua. Tua is on the way. They would have started him this week because they have 10 days after Thursday Night Football, but, fellas, after Fitzy did what he did, running 7 times for 38, passing 18 of 20 for 160, well, 164 or whatever, and 2 touchdowns, Fitzy's going to start the next week. But, fellas, whoever wants Tua, trust me, Tua is on the way. You'll see Tua here in the next month or so.
All right. I like hearing that with Channing Crowder, a former NFLer and host on 560 Sports Radio down in Miami. In terms of the AFC East, you know, I like where Miami's going, but I don't think they're going to run with the Pats and the Bills this year. I think it's a two team race. I'm on the Bills. I think the Bills are going to. I think they're legit. I think they're going to win the division. Where do you stand on that battle in the AFC East? Pats, Bills. You know, how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I've been a big critic of Josh Allen because he wasn't accurate last year. He just wasn't. I watched a lot of Allen. I watched two games against the Dolphins, and I go back and watch that. What the crap? All 22, whatever they play on the internet.
Yeah.
And I watch him, bro. And he's just not accurate. Like, my whole thing last week was play man coverage, make him hit windows. And he hit every window. They're talking about Josh Allen being in the MVP race right now, and I can't argue with it. Josh Allen is playing ball. So, with Josh playing at that level, what I've seen over the last 3 weeks, and with that defense, and the Bills' defense in AFC, that's what they've done the whole time. The Bills were the bullies, the Patriots were the big dog, and the Jets and the Dolphins just kind of stayed there. It's a two-man race right now. I'm going to tell you, this year, next year will be the Dolphins' year. But this year, I think the Bills are going to come out. The Patriots' defense, they're running off of steam right now. Stephon Gilmore is great. The McCourty brothers are great in that back end, guys. Like, they can play ball. But that front seven are nobodies. Dante Hightower's out. They lost Lenoir to the Dolphins. Like, I don't, you know, when you say nobodies, they are NFL players, but they're not the names I've seen year after year with the Patriots. So, the whole talk was Cam Newton, and if Cam Newton can do it, what's Newton going to be off the injury? What's Newton going to be with the new team? Fellas, I think the AFC East runs off if the Patriot defense can figure it out. And if I had to bet my money, and we are huge gamblers down here on my show, my co-host, we bet on it. Bro, we bet on fighting, we bet on soccer, we bet on cricket. If I'm putting my money behind it, I will bet that the Bills will come out the AFC East this year. With the fact that I've seen Josh Allen play at a very high level already, and that Buffalo Bills defense is always going to get pressure. They're always going to – what, Tre'Davious White, he's one of my favorite players, probably, I would say, four or five best corner in the league right now. I would bet my money on the Buffalo Bills to come out the AFC.
Channing, you were a defensive player. We've been talking all show about the matchup on Monday night. How frightening is it going up against those two dynamic quarterbacks, what they bring to the table? Just playmaking, their ability to throw, run, get away from trouble. How frightening is it as a defensive player going up against one of those guys or someone similar to it?
Man, the Patrick Mahomes is what we watched our whole life. Like, that's Manning, that's Brady, that's Culpepper, how far do I want to go back? Well, however far you want to go back. Joe Montana, Steve Jones, however far you want to go back with football names. That's what Patrick Mahomes is. He can roll, but he's always going to throw the ball, and he can throw the ball amazing. The thing with Lamar Jackson is that everybody wants to compare him to Mike Vick. And I played Mike Vick a number of times. I'm actually personal friends with Vick. Our kids play together. The thing about Vick is that if you keep him in the pocket, he could beat you, but it's a lot harder to beat you. And that's the difference. I think that people are making a flaw between Lamar Jackson and Mike Vick. Where Mike Vick and Mike, you know, we can argue about him. We have argued about it. But I'll tell you, I don't think Mike could just flat out beat you with his arm. Now, if you watch Lamar this year, fellas, I watched him against the Dolphins. They scored 59 points, but I wasn't impressed with his quarterbacking ability. I was more impressed with his athletic ability. This year, Lamar has figured it out. He's sitting in the pocket. He's checking. Like, I can see his head turn. First option, okay, no, they're in cover three. Second option, okay, they're in man on the slot. Third option, outside, cover four, we got him. I've seen Lamar go through his checks on the secondary from left side of the field, right side of the field, then go strong, go back weak, and then go back strong. Lamar Jackson figured this thing out, so the athleticism of Lamar Jackson that we all love, and Lamar will embarrass people just like Vic did, I think Lamar already is turning into a better passer than Mike Vick. And Lamar's talent is something that you can't teach. That's God-given. That comes out of his mama and daddy's DNA of what he does when he breaks the pocket. But Patrick is going to be the face of the league for the next 15 years, and that's why they gave him $500 million. I'm telling y'all, if Lamar can stay healthy, the development and the maturation I've seen over these first 2 years, bro, Lamar can be right up there with him. When his athleticism leads, if he can really sit in that pocket and really learn how to throw the ball like I've seen the maturation, this matchup, and I've said it and I've told a number of people, this Mahomes-Jackson matchup we're about to watch on Monday night, bro, we might be watching this for the next 10 to 12 to 15 years of them dominating this league. you know, God willing, health and all the stuff we have to talk about. But these are two elite quarterbacks that we're watching develop and make greatness out of. When Patrick Mahomes won a Super Bowl last year, and I still don't believe Patrick Mahomes is at his ceiling.
With Channing Crowder, I'm with you on that. Longtime NFLer, sports radio down in Miami. By Monday, we might also be teeing up an NBA Finals. LeBron and the Lakers against the Miami Heat. And this is kind of storybook stuff. I mean, they're in a bubble. They're down in Orlando. But LeBron, we know about his four-year reign in Miami, four straight finals, 1-2. What's the perception of LeBron? Like, what's his legacy like down in Miami? And what's the reaction going to be like if and when it gets to a point where the Heat play the Lakers and LeBron for an NBA Finals?
No hate. No hate for LeBron down here from the fan base, from 99.9% of the fan base. I can't stand LeBron because I just think he's not what he says he is. I just learned off the court. He's just so calculated, everything he says. If you've ever noticed, whenever a fight breaks out on the court, he'll run up just close enough to act like he wants to be a part of it, and then he's going to back up. LeBron's not slapping anybody. LeBron's not going to slap a punch or kick anyone in his life. So that's why I'm not a fan of LeBron, because, hell, I've been blocked up a number of times. Y'all check my Google. But it's personal with LeBron. But to answer your question, down in South Florida, we have no ill manner towards LeBron. LeBron even admitted it. I came to Miami and learned how to win. He was in Cleveland riding away. Who wants to be in Cleveland? Cleveland is garbage, man. Cleveland smells like a rat foot. Have you ever been to Cleveland? All you smell is rat feet in Cleveland. Nobody wants to be there. But he comes down here, he wins us two championships, he adds with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and they have an amazing run. So to go play LeBron is all respect. It's not going to be anything nasty there. The Heat right now are the hottest team. Fellas, they're 10-2. Well, yeah, 10-2 in the postseason. They are the biggest surprise, knocking off Milwaukee Bucks, who is the number one seed in the East. Now 3-1, or it would be 11-2. So now 3-1 up against the Boston Celtics, who everybody thought were going to be great. The Heat are going to win this series, and they're going to go and play the Lakers. The Heat are a team of a bunch of really good players, but we don't have the star. If you go into that Lakers, we'll win. I say win, fellas. I'm going to anticipate. When we go into the Lakers Heat Finals, the best two players on the court, hands down, are Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And then we might go Jimmy Butler right there, and then we could go down from there. But I think stars win championships, so I believe the Lakers are hands down the best team this year. But for the Heat to be able to go through the East the way they did, only, you know, having two gentlemen sweeps, and I believe the Heat win tonight, guys, as well, at 8:30 in a couple hours here, that is a win for the Miami Heat, with Jimmy Butler being your best player, 916-year-old Goran Dragic being your second, Bam Adebayo coming out as, you know, being the most improved player of the year. You're not supposed to be a contributor like he is when you're the most improved. Tyler Hero ball is dropping 37. Duncan Robinson having his game. You know, there's all these names where when you talk about the Lakers, you talk about AD, you talk about LeBron, and then some dude with some long-ass name. It's Rondo and then Caldavius, McDaniel, you know, Block, and Neil Pope. They have ballers over there, and they have better players. Their roster is better with the Lakers, and I don't anticipate the Heat to beat them. But what the Heat did with this roster, fellas, is stupid. For what they've done in this bubble, and I think the bubble helps the Heat because of Riley, the Heat culture, what Eric Spoelstra does. Eric Spoelstra is coaching circles around Brad Stevens right now. Brad Stevens is a hell of a coach; everybody respects him. But Eric Spoelstra is making him look like a sixth grader sitting there trying to figure out if he wants to eat chicken nuggets or if he wants to eat tacos on a Wednesday. Eric Spoelstra is showing out, guys. So the Heat are going to beat the Celtics. They're already up 3-1. I don't know if I'm making a big leap there. But I think the Lakers have just too much talent with LeBron and AD. But this is a win. As we sit here this second, fellas, this is a win for the Miami Heat going to the finals or even being up 3-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals with the roster they had and with the rebuild. Never tanking, just adding pieces and trying to figure this thing out. I love where the Heat are going. I love Riley. Love Spo. That is special, what the Heat have down there. It's called Biscayne Boulevard, fellas. I know you're in Canada, but it's Biscayne Boulevard that the Heat have and their stadium's on, and we run that South Florida.
All right, man. Well, enjoy it tonight. It's been great catching up with you. We'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
Thank you so much. And there is a strip club that I used to go to when we played the Buffalo Bills. It has a red light around the top. It's about 20 minutes from the border. And if y'all know what I'm talking about, please go there, because they used to have a massage parlor attached to it and a chicken wing spot attached to it. You give me a strip club, a massage parlor, and a chicken wing spot, bro, I love Toronto, man, right there across the border.
If that was the Sundowner.
About going over there. Sundowners?
Yep. That's what it was, buddy.
Bro. Listen, that was a legendary spot for my
We know, Channing.
Yeah, we're familiar with what you're talking about. Let us know when you're back up here.
Yeah, we'll try to arrange something. Thank you.
Yo, man, boy, y'all would be my best friend if y'all give me back to Sundowners.
Okay. Appreciate y'all. See you later. There he is, Channing. From Sports Radio in Miami, longtime NFLer.
And my new favorite person favorite on radio of all time.
Like, just
once
out
a
of
week,
nowhere.
Grappler, once a week, thank you very much. There is one of our guests.
Wow. What? That took a turn at the end that I was not expecting. A shout-out.
We were doing the cordial, thank you for joining us, and he's like, man, there is a peeler joint and a tug 20 minutes from the border. Like, we don't even know you, sir.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were trying to say, like, okay, thank you very much. And he's like, man, that place was good. And then he said they got chicken wings.
What wings? I don't remember hearing about any wings down there.
I think he was talking about the guy that cooks the sausage out front of the grill. I don't know. But he was quite interested in
that's the greatest soundbite of our show ever.
Yes. Like. Yeah. That is just past the border. The old Bills. I love how no one stays in Buffalo. They all come across the border.
Yeah, most guys shy away from mentioning the attachment on.
That's what I was going to say. Like, the peel is stretching it. Getting into the parlor right beside, that's taking it to a new level. Yeah.
He was, like, just so happy that the tug was right attached to it, and he was into it. He loved it.
Okay. But he was flat out. When you said that's a sundown, he's like, yeah, that's it. That's what I remember.
Oh, he knows it. That's not his first rodeo.